Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Jeff Beagle's John Schmelk. And a reminder, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play often as you want and with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. You'll hear Jeff Beagle's picks for the weekends coming up later in the show, so you know who to pick in this weekend's contest. You can check that out later on in the show, and we will get to your calls early and often today. As we talk about the Giants' win against the Washington Redskins, a lot to dissect on both sides of the ball. And Jeff, let's get right to it. We'll start offensively for the Giants, and okay. The big star in this game, at least from a skill position perspective, had to be Reuben Randall. He had his first big impact game of the year on the game, finished with 7 catches on 7 targets for 116 yards and a touchdown, the big exclamation point coming on at the end with the deflection that he managed to focus on,
great play.
Into his hands and score the touchdown. How important was it for Reuben Randall to step up here in this game and make teams pay for giving all that attention to Odell?
Well, how important was that touchdown that he caught when you look at what happened after that?
In retrospect, absolutely.
I mean, so, but for him, I think his confidence, and we know what Reuben Randall can do. I mean, you look at when last year, he comes out and has a really good year, over 700 yards receiving. So we understand what he can do when Victor Cruz is in the lineup and when he's not. But it kind of makes – I was thinking about this driving home last night because I was listening to the postgame show and they're talking about Reuben Randall, and it makes me believe that the Giants had Preston Parker as their number two receiver. Because when you think about the targets that he was getting, Preston Parker, and the drops that he had, and now you insert – he's gone and insert Reuben Randall into that second position, there's where he got the targets and the catches last night. We know that he can do well. Now it's up to him to stay healthy and be able to consistently go on and play at that level, especially getting Victor Cruz back. You would think that he would have a more opportunity to get balls thrown his way because of those Beckham and Cruz.
And I can't tell you, Jeff, how many calls I received over the course of this offseason, and you're here for a lot of it.
About Reuben Randall.
Well, no, it was more on the offensive line. Oh, how everyone's okay. So worried about it. It's going to be a disaster.
Oh, my God.
Eli's going
to
get killed. This and that. And quite frankly, and we'll talk about the run blocking in a second, but at least from a pass protection perspective, this offensive line has done a fine job the first 3 games of the year, and specifically last night against the Redskins defensive front that can cause havoc, can cause chaos. It is very talented. You didn't hear Ryan Kerrigan's name mentioned once the whole damn game.
I was just going to say that. I mean, I other than, you know, the lineup. But, I mean, this guy in Newhouse knew he was going to have his hands full. And you take your hat off to him because, yeah, he was silent last night. And that guy usually plays on a big stage. Those Thursday night, Sunday night games, national, he's always around the
Absolutely.
Football.
Absolutely.
No question about it. Not last night.
And, look, they've, for the most part, given Eli the time he needs to throw the football to you know, execute down the field and do what he needs to do. And for a position, and now remember, this is a game where they didn't have Eric Flowers playing.
Right.
Justin Pugh had to play an unfamiliar position at left tackle. He was very solid there. You had Newhouse, Jerry, Schwartz all on the field at the same time. I think you had to be very pleased with how that offensive line, what they put out there on the field last night.
I was impressed. I you know, they ran the football. They didn't run it with much success as far as an average per carry. Where are we at? 2.7 yards, okay, on the average. So
Jennings went 11 for 32. Andre Williams went 14 for 29, and Vereen 6 for 23.
So collectively, 31 rushes for 84 yards at a 2.7 clip. That's not getting it done. However, it is making some first downs, which, by the way, I wanted to bring up, and I wanted to say this. Every ball that Reuben Randall caught last night was for a first down.
Is that true?
Yeah, 7 of 7. And so you talk about, you know, you talk about situational football. That's pretty impressive. But that offensive line, they continue to get better. We talked about this, John, and at the end of preseason and going into the first game against Dallas, is that the more and more this offensive line gets that cohesiveness and is able to play amongst each other and next to each other, the better they're going to get. We're starting to see a little bit of that, and we're starting to see the fact that there was a reason why in preseason that these guys were jumping all around. You know, one Schwartz would move from right guard to right tackle. He played a little bit of this. Pugh played a little here. Well, that's because of what happened with Flowers. He's out of the lineup, and they moved Pugh over there, and it's not anything new to them. Pugh got a little bit of an indoctrination to it last week. He had to go in the game when Flowers got hurt, so that helped him from that standpoint. But I think that they did a nice job. Pugh had a penalty, a couple costly penalties there in the game. I'm sure we'll get to that later. But offensive line, I thought, did a nice job. And anytime you can give Eli enough time to throw, he's going to pick you apart.
But you do want to run the ball better. And I think
you have to run the ball
better. This team has to become a more two-dimensional offense.
There's
right now.
There's no question.
And that hopefully will happen against the Bills in 10 days.
And you know what? And anytime you can run the football, it does well for your passing game. And so, you know, and this is the old cliche, you know, you don't want to make a team one-dimensional, but you want to be fairly balanced. I don't know what the numbers were, John, as far as the pass to the run last night. But, you know, with the lead, you kind of get some of those carries back.
32 to 31, 32 pass attempts, 31 rush attempts.
And, you know, I've always wondered, you know, is there – you know, you got the offensive coordinator on the sideline, John, and maybe you know this more than – I don't know. But these teams are pretty close as far as their you know, they run – 10 to the right and 11 to the left. And, you know, there's got to be somebody up there with a marker on a grease board going, all right, one to the left, guys,
well,
one to the right, guys.
Apparently no one had a grease board for the Redskins because they threw it 49 times
well,
and ran it only 20.
Very uncharacteristic. And in our pregame show, right, we talked about the recipe for success for this team to win, and it was to shut down their running game.
And the Giants did.
And then the next step is to try to put Kirk Cousins in throwing situations where
and
he can make mistakes.
Giants did.
And so now I don't know what they're doing down there in Washington. I'm sure that our guys down there south of us might be able to give us a little – because, listen, we got two guys that call in here. I don't remember the tops of the
– Steve in Washington, D.C. is one of them.
And those guys, you know, they were worried about going into work today on Friday with taking bullet holes in their chest. So they're going to be – it'll be good for them to go in there today and be able to stick their chest out and say, hey, guys, look what happened. But you know, yeah, I guess it's, you know, this offense throwing the ball. I forgot what we were talking about, believe it or not. But, you know, John and I are working on a little bit of less sleep here this morning.
We
right?
are, yeah.
But it's not an excuse.
Well, I think you probably got home earlier than I did. I didn't walk out of that building until like 2:15 last night.
I remember looking at the clock when I went into bed, John. It was 1:44. So not bad.
Not too bad. I was in bed about an hour after that,
which
is not terrible. A couple other things I want to mention before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. Specific plays, Jeff. I thought starting that game with the block punt for the safety and then the Prince virtual pick six where he put the Giants in position to score off of that interception, I thought were so important just to get the good feelings rolling again, to get the team thinking positively. I thought it put the team off on the right foot, and everyone fed off of those two big plays early on defense and special teams.
And I thought to start the game, in the last couple games, the first drives of the opponents have been long drives. Well, the Giants defense went out and got a three and out. The Redskins had a penalty on that first drive, but it was, you know, basically three plays and out. They punted, and then, of course, the block punt by Jennings, which, by the way, when you look at the replay, you talk about guys that play special teams, and you have your core guys. But it goes to show you that, you know, some of these starters have to play special teams. And you know, Jennings is a starter. And there he is on the punt rush team, and he's blocking a kick. And it was a beautiful play. I mean, over the top of that guy getting his hands out.
You don't see generally a blocked player. A player that's engaged
in the block, laying out, and he
absolutely
was over the top of that guy, so it was a great play. But to your point, John, yes, absolutely. Two big plays in that first quarter, the interception and the block punt, sets the tone for the game, playing at home, getting the crowd into it. It just shows you that this team came out and ready to play.
And it really flipped the script because, like you said, in games past, it was the Giants' opponents that controlled the first quarter. In this game, the Giants controlled the ball for 9 minutes and 25 seconds of that first quarter. The Redskins had the ball for just 5 minutes and 35 seconds. And when you go down 12-0 in the first quarter, you know what? It's hard sometimes to get that running game going because you have to throw the ball because you feel like you're always behind. So, you know, that's something you have to worry about. And I think the Giants put themselves in a great position with those big plays early to keep that Redskin running game at bay a little bit. They couldn't fully commit to it.
And, you know, and after that block punt, that the offense took advantage of that turnover.
Right.
And, after the interception, Prince interception, The Giants go down and they score a touchdown. Andre Williams runs in for a touchdown. So, you know, there's the execution that you're looking, points off of turnovers. You like to see that, especially when you're getting what the defense is getting these days. And for this team to go out and score 32 points, that's enough to win. I believe, John, in the first two games, scoring the amount of 25, 24, what was it, what was the score of the first game?
It was 24 and 20 points for the Giants in those two games.
I mean, the formula is, you know, you can win games like that if you have a good defense.
But you would like the offense. Going into the season, we thought the Giants' offense should be
around 32.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least around 27.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
Score four touchdowns to win the game.
And I remember when you and I were talking the first game of the season, we were thinking the over-under was going to be like 75 against the Dallas and the Giants, because this is what our idea of this offense was going to be. It's going to be very interesting when Victor Cruz comes back into the mix of things.
And it looks like he should be back for Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's the feeling right now. Look, you never know if he's going to have a setback this week or something like that. But he seems, based on what Victor said last week, based on what Tom Coughlin said last week, it seems as though he'll progress enough next week where he did some running late this week or middle of this week, rather. I'm sure he did some work today. He did some work yesterday with the guys who were getting ready for game time. And you hope that he'll be able to get into team drills this week and be ready for Buffalo. But let's be honest, against a really good defense in the Bills, you're going to need as many weapons as you can get out there.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, there's a good and a bad to this Thursday night game. The bad is that it's a short week and coming off of, you know, only 4 days of rest.
But you won the game now. So that bad's out the window. Now it's all good.
Now it's all good. You got 10 days. You had five starters out of the lineup last night. You had a chance to get those guys back to healthy. So get those guys back in there. And then they go up and against a Buffalo team who is a good football team. They're you know, and Rex is going to have them pumped up because the Giants are coming into town, and Rex always wants to beat the Giants. He's in a Buffalo's Bills hat this time, but that defense is legit up there now.
And look, they had troubles against New England last week. I imagine they'll have a much better performance against the Dolphins this week. And you mentioned the injuries, Jeff, and I would suspect all the major guys that missed the game this past week. If I had to guess, and again, we'll see what happens next week. This is simply me doing a little bit of speculating, which I know is very dangerous. I would think Cruz is back. Beeson should have a bigger role. He played 28 snaps last night. I imagine he'll probably be closer to 40, 45 in the game against Buffalo. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie looked like he was darn close to being out of that concussion protocol. That was just a matter of going through the NFL regulations.
Yeah,
he should be there.
Yep.
Robert Ayers is questionable for game time with a hamstring. I got to imagine 9-10 days off for him.
He'll be back.
We'll probably get him back. And then Ereck Flowers, I guess, is the one guy that would maybe be a small question mark. You know, if that's a high ankle sprain, that could take a few weeks. I don't know what the exact –
I don't know if it was high or low. But
I have no idea.
Yeah. You would think if it's high, it's probably longer.
Right. Yeah. But, again, maybe it wasn't. I have no idea. So I think he's the guy you really should keep an eye on next week to see where he's at, because against this Bills attacking front, you're going to want him on the field if you can get it to, you know, bring that physicality to the football field and really
get going.
Can I say
one thing, John? You know,
no,
you talk about Beeson coming back.
Shut up. No.
Be quiet, Fields. You shut your mouth, will you?
I'm tired of hearing
I think
from
that Beeson, you know, he only had one tackle last night, I think it was, or whatever. But
start slow. You understand that, though.
But I think that, you know, they platoon him and Unga last night. And
Unga played 47 snaps, by the way.
So I think, and they had another, they want to get this kid on the field somehow, you know, and they want to slowly bring back Beeson, because you don't want to lose what you've gained up to this point with him being able to come back on the field. So now you get a nice break. Now you're going to get him back, and I think you're right, John. He'll start to move and morph into a little bit more playing time out of John Beeson, but I think he's really has brought that leadership role that we like to see him on the field have. That's coming back now, which helps this defense.
Now, final thing I want to note before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. We touched on all the positives. You touched on one negative on offense. That's the inability to run the football. And I think one thing you keep an eye on defensively here, Jeff, is the overall pass defense. You're not seeing quite as much pressure up front as you would like to see.
No.
And that has allowed teams to have the time to find some holes in the secondary. So I think if you look for one thing on the defense you want to try to improve on, it's that aspect.
Well, I think you first have to improve on the pass rush, because the Giants did everything they could to get after Kirk Cousins, and it all went to the game plan that we talked about. So if they did get him in those situations and they did blitz, the fact is that even with the blitz, they still were not putting pressure on him. So schematically change some things. But I really believe, John, that the core of the problem to this defense right now is there's no pressure on any of these quarterbacks. And Kirk Cousins is not a great quarterback. He made a lot of mistakes on his own last night.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, and there was some pressure. I think, you know, they were bringing, they got a hold of him a couple times, one sack. But they got to get better in that category, because if you can't get pressure on an NFL quarterback that's good, you're going to have a long day. Now, next week, we don't know much about this quarterback, but
yep.
He's a scrambler and he can throw. But this because you know what? You mentioned it to me when we were talking before the show.
He's really the first true dual-threat quarterback the Giants will face this year so far. The last three guys have all been pocket guys.
They have been what?
Pocket passers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, you know, we saw a lot of guys running free last night. And if it's Matt Ryan or Tony Romo, they're hitting those guys that are open. And that Jordan Reed was running free all night. Garcon, there was guys just all – the Giants got to find a way to stop this short passing game where guys are wide open, and it starts up front.
All right, let's get to the calls at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. On the last time I took some happy Giant calls on this call, so I'm very excited. Let's
happy
get
pills.
To it. Let's start with Steve in Staten Island. What's going on, Steve? How are you?
Johnny boy, what's going on, brother? How are you?
He's a happy guy. What's up, Steve?
Hey, hello, Jeff. Good morning. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, we're doing good, my man. Yeah.
Hey, listen, John, I got to tell you, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit with the O-line, man. I got to give a big kudos to John Jerry. That guy's a beast, man. He plays his position just about as good as anybody I've seen on that O-line for a long time. I mean, that guy really stepped his game up and played really good last night, you know, and I like the way that O-line is really giving Eli, you know, more or less, they're giving him time to, you know, get comfortable in the pocket and hit his receivers. And, you know, yeah, I was one of those ones in the offseason that was kind of like a little panicky with the O-line. But, you know, it's just going to work. I mean, I kind of like what I see on the offense. And if I could on a defense, yeah, you know, listen. You know, here's how you keep a quarterback from scrambling. You get pressure on him. And, you know, you don't have to blitz every down, but I'm kind of hoping they could, you know, come up with some kind of drastic game plan for next week going into Buffalo, because, you know, you don't want to see these quarterbacks uncomfortable. It's like you talked about, you know, Cousins looked relatively comfortable last night. You know, there was a couple of times he could have had a cup of coffee before anybody touched him.
Yeah.
So you're kind of hoping they could, like, you know, eliminate that and really, you know, trust your front four. I mean, I like what I see. You know, I think this front four can do the job. They've proven it. You know what? I don't really care. At the end of the day, it's about the W.
Yep.
And, you know, I think from what I see going into Buffalo in 10 days, you know, with a win like this, which we needed, you know what? This can really turn a whole team's motivation around. And that's, you know, I want to know what you think about that.
Well, I would be, you know, the thing that happens with a young team is that you come off a win like this, you have 10 days to savor it. However, but, you know, you got to be cautious in the sense that, you know, they didn't just win the Super Bowl. You just lost two games in a row, and now
yeah,
you
I
win
know.
This game.
I know.
But I'm just saying that, you know, for the younger guys in the team, the older guys have to make sure that there's an emphasis on let this one go and let's go get Buffalo. And so that you have to really put an emphasis on that, because if you don't, the guys will get all caught up in, yeah, we won a game and we're that good. You certainly don't want them to start thinking that.
Hey, listen, you know the difference between this year's Giants team and the last couple of years' Giants team is it took up to maybe week six of the prior years for you to say, all right, I think this team's finally going to turn it around. You kind of got the sense watching Atlanta last week it was going to be a quick turnaround. I went into, you know, watching last night's game, and I'm saying I think this is it. Tonight, you know, that week six preseason has now come to an end. You know, the early Christmas gifts that they were giving these teams now stops. And you know what? I think if it goes the way it should go, there's no reason to think why this team can't still win that division. You know, you play smart, sound, fundamental football. You know, some of the penalties you kind of scratch your head at. But you know what, though? In the end, I think that this team, you know, let's see what they do in Buffalo. You know, before, as Giants fans, as myself, because you know me, Johnny, I got to tell you, they win every game and go to the Super Bowl. I'm just that much of a fan. You know, I just think that, you know, let's see what next week brings. And hopefully we get some more positive results out of it. Thanks for taking my call. Johnny, you're the best, brother.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Davey. I appreciate it, man. Look, and here's the thing. I mean, when you take a look at it, Jeff, and I think he had a couple of things that you have to keep an eye on and improve going forward that are important. But when he mentions the division, if you're a Giant fan this week, look, you have a unique situation. You've got many weeks, and the Giants actually have three this week. They have two Monday night games, the one Thursday night game, where you're going to have your Sunday, and you're going to be able to sit there, and you're going to be able to watch a little NFL that's not New York Giants, all right? So this week, you got two huge 1 o'clock games you're going to want to keep an eye on. If you have a relative, you have a brother, you have a sister that's a Jet fan, steal the hat. Steal the jersey.
That's right.
Maybe a little Mo Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
get a little Eric Decker, perhaps. Maybe Brandon
Marshall. Wear a little green.
Slide on the Chris Ivory jersey.
Yeah, something.
And root for the New York Jets, because you would love to get the Eagles to start the season off at 0-3. It's green. I know it'll hurt you, but it makes sense. Then you're going to have to go and root for the other team at 1 o'clock that beat you last week that you're probably not a big fan of right now, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, but
because
they
they're playing
beat
the
you,
team
so
that beat you the first week of the season, the Dallas Cowboys. So you could be big Jet fans or big Falcon fans today. Maybe you got like a old Michael Vick jersey in the closet somewhere. You can, you know, break that out. Maybe you go back and have
open
a Chris Chandler jersey from when they made the Super Bowl against the Broncos. Andre Rison from back in the early 90s, maybe.
Yeah.
Terrence
as long
Mathis.
As he's not burning down houses.
Eric
know.
Metcalf, whatever. Break out that old Falcons jersey, and you root for them against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. But you're
you
right.
You know, he made a good point.
It is open.
And, you know, this team maybe, you know, gelling a little bit earlier than it did last year. But, you know, this offense was brand new last year. You got a year ahead now. So you can see that the maturation process has come around for this offense a little bit better. The other thing, too, you have to understand is that this is a new defensive system. And it takes a little while for things to start to unfold. And I think that Spags is slowly introducing different types of packages in there week by week, because you don't want to throw the kitchen sink at these guys at the very beginning.
Especially with young guys at middle linebacker and at safety calling everything
question.
Out.
So now that John is back in there and playing healthy, and he can start to, you know, coordinate those things during the game that Spags wants him to do, where he couldn't do that with a younger Unga in the lineup.
No question about it. And I've seen a lot of creative blitzes. They haven't gone home, but you've seen corner blitzes, safety blitzes, linebackers in the A&B gap, linebackers around the edge. So you've seen them utilize these guys in a lot of different ways. 201-939-4513. Brett is out in Arizona. Brett, you're up next.
Morning, Brett.
Hey there. How's it going?
What's up, Brett?
Where are you from in AZ?
I am around the Sierra Vista area. It's about 30 minutes away from the border.
Yep.
It's pretty close to the border.
Down by Tuba
City. How you guys
City?
Doing this morning?
Doing right, Jeff. What's going on, Brett?
Oh, you know, just happy about that, you know, the wind.
Absolutely.
Listen, there's a lot of people in this building that are happy about the wind today. We were just in the lunchroom, and everybody's this
everyone's
happy as a clam.
Smiles.
Yeah.
I love it.
Free food. Hey, come and get it.
Good. Glad to hear it. By the way, I think you guys are calling me Brett. It's Brad, by the way.
I'm sorry, Brad. What do you got?
No, it's all good. So, obviously, you know, we're all excited about the win. I'm a little bit more of a pessimist, you know, personally.
It's okay. We have.
I went in the game last night a little bit worried. You know, you never know how it's going to go with the Giants. but I'm happy at what we saw. You know, obviously, you know, what you guys alluded to and the previous caller alluded to, though, I think we need to get the running game more consistent, you know, especially in the fourth quarter and such, you know. If we can't run the ball and kill the clock as well, you know, against some of the better teams, we're going to have problems ending the game, you know, finishing again. You know, I still saw a few issues as far as play calling. There was a shallow tight end drag on a 3rd and 3. I saw that probably shouldn't have been done because it was tackled immediately. I mean, you know, I'm just coming from a more pessimistic view on things, but, you know, there's a few things that could have been cleaned up, obviously.
Of course.
You know, you know, like I said, as a pessimist, it was really, you know, I liked where I saw, except obviously, you know, we still did have another fourth quarter collapse. You know, we lost 15 points again in fourth quarter.
Not a collapse.
You know,
not a collapse.
Yep.
Because a collapse means you lose the game.
But,
yeah.
But still, you don't want to see that, especially with the
kickoff.
We'll call
it a scare. It was a scare, not a collapse.
I think that's
fair. Yeah, a scare. Okay, fair enough. But still, you don't want to see that, you know, especially, you know, like I said, against some teams where we won't be able to have a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter, you know? there's some games where we're going to have like a 3-point lead or a 6-point lead or something. You know, you don't want to see that, you know, especially considering our special teams the whole night had been pretty much dominant, you know.
Well, they've been dominant the whole year. They really have.
Yeah.
And they give up one big play.
Hey, look, and this offseason, they made special teams a big focus, and so far it's paid off.
Yeah, well, they bring in Castillas and Thomas, who both have been big special teams
and
guys.
And Harris, obviously.
And Harris is the big one. Yeah, so.
Yes.
Although he did
muff a punt, so, you know, he's got to be careful with that.
Yeah, but you're going to see that. That's what he does. I mean, he'll have a negative play, and then he'll come back and have something like that. You just hope one of those negative plays isn't going to be, you know, one of those that loses you the game.
And I almost feel like, Brad, this year, aside from a couple of the Odell Beckham returns last year where he almost broke it, Harris has had more near breakaways on punts and kicks than we saw almost all year last year for the Giants through 16 games.
No question.
The last, like, 5 years combined. I mean, I haven't seen any production out of that. I was so tired of seeing Reuben Randle back there fair catching every single ball two years ago. And, you know, it's just still it's very exciting to have a player like him, because at any time he can break one. And like John was saying, it's just they're close. And that's in special teams. You're always this much away from doing,
and
you know,
boy,
breaking
a big
play.
They've been real close. All right, Brad, what's your second point? What else you got real quick?
All right. Well, obviously there was the, you know, the block punt for a safety. That was awesome too. Basically, you know, just, you know, it was a really good win last night, but obviously there's still some things to clean up. I got a little question for you guys. Maybe you guys would know more than I do. First of all, we didn't really have any injuries last night except for Prince going out for a little bit, but he came back in.
Yeah.
So that was a good point too. So very little, you know, injury stuff. But I did see something about Orleans Darkwa getting hurt. Do you guys know anything about that?
Yeah, you know what? I think when he recovered the punt on the Dwayne Harris muff, he might have tweaked his knee. I know they were looking at it. They brought him into
the
locker room.
Maybe?
Yeah, I think so in the first half. I did not hear anything about Orleans after the game. I'm sure Tom Coughlin will have something on his conference call later on today, but I do not have word on him. I knew they were looking at him. They did bring him inside in that first half. Good question, Brian. I don't have an answer for you, though. I appreciate the call, bud.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks for taking me, guys. Later.
You're welcome. No, have a good day.
And Darko is another valuable special teams guy, by the way.
There's no question.
201-939-4513. Yeah. Marco is up in Connecticut. Marco, what's up?
Hey, John and Jeff. Great to be with you.
Thanks, Marco.
Good
what's up?
Good to see you, bud.
Guys, a couple comments. First of all, a huge, huge sigh of relief in the division. And for me, it's not much to do with, you know, beating the Skins and but more for this team to win. You know, the last 3 years have kind of felt like one long season. And I'm not saying that was the defining win that got the monkey off the back, but it just feels good because the last two games, it's disappointing. You feel like the team's headed in the right direction and we're playing well. So to get a win to solidify that, I'm feeling a little more confident today. Like the last caller, I was nervous last night and have grown accustomed to being worried heading into games. But I think as a diehard fan, you're kind of hanging on to every play, every opportunity. Eli, for me, and I think you guys would agree, when his days are done here as quarterback, he's going to go down as a big game quarterback. And he's had his mistakes over the years. And if you're watching every play, you're probably going to analyze his play as, oh, maybe not the most accurate quarterback or the mental mistakes in the last two games, but the guy's a big game quarterback, and when the pressure builds, he's the guy I want.
Yeah, Marco, here's the thing. You know, when I always think of Eli, I'll think of 2011 and his fourth quarter performances. Now, we haven't seen quite as many of those the last couple of years, but you hope that he can get back into that groove, because in 2011, he was the best fourth quarter quarterback I've ever seen that year. And
no
statistically
question.
It's literally one of the best in NFL history in terms of play in the fourth quarter that season. And if he can get back to that and they can finish games a little bit better, you know, this could be a very interesting season.
And you talk about him being a big-time quarterback. This, you know, the team won't tell you this, but I will. That was a must-win last night. And, you know, if you got a guy that can come out and take your team and win, that's being big time.
And because no turnovers, by the way, out of the quarterback.
And listen, the turnovers on the season have been very well. I don't know. I think I was trying to count in my head. Are the
6-1 ratio.
So they're plus 5?
They were plus 3 in week 1. They were plus 3 last night. I think that safety, I think the fumble for a touchback counts as a turnover. I think it does. I'm not positive technically, but I'll count it for our purposes.
But they got to be at least four or five.
So they were plus three week one, plus three week three, and then they were minus one against the Falcons on the Eli Strip. So they're plus five, yeah.
Yeah, and that's
good. Yeah, and the penalties haven't been terrible either.
The penalties haven't been terrible collectively, but I think imperatively they've been – some of them have been very crucial. Right. I mean,
in spots, yeah.
Exactly. So it's not a matter of the amounts. It's just a matter of when they're coming.
All right, Mark, we'll finish up. What else you got?
Sure. Here's my question. Okay. There's a lot to work on here. Pass rush.
Yeah.
Last 20 years, guys, we've had guys that could win, multiple guys in spots that could win one-on-one battles and get sacked, hits, pressure on the quarterback. I feel like, and I think you guys said it earlier before you started taking calls, I feel like we're living and dying by the blitz. And I like the group, but good quarterbacks.
Right.
We're not going to see Romo the second time around. At least I don't think so. But a good quarterback like Romo is eventually going to eat up the blitz in a big spot. So my question is about DeMontre Moore, but you could talk about the other guys on the team. What are DeMontre's strengths? And basically, how can we utilize those strengths? Because when we talk about them, I think. Someone said it, either I think Carl Banks said it this morning on Joe and Evan, that he is probably the best pass rusher, but can he win one-on-one battle? Could he win a one-on-one battle to get to the quarterback? Could he be in there not just on third down? Is he a first and second down defensive end? Because I think that's got to be the key right now to the team is getting pressure from four down linemen, and who's the defensive end that's going to emerge?
Marco, let me tell you a little bit about DeMontre Moore. First of all, in my opinion, okay, he's basically a one-trick pony. You look at him play.
And Carl Banks, by the way, said exactly this on the radio broadcast last night. I know exactly where you're going.
I didn't hear it, but I think maybe we'll probably sentiment the same thing.
Oh,
but
I'm sure
he has to develop – a couple, you know, things in his repertoire.
All he has is feet around the edge. That's it.
And so I think, and whether Coach Nunn is trying to teach him that and he's not, you know, it's not as easy as you think because it is a lot of practice. These guys don't get a whole lot of practice time on the field, but that's probably his one issue.
Yeah,
John said, his speed is inevitable.
Yeah,
it's going to get there.
That's his strength. He can get around the edge and beat those offensive tackles around the corner. What Carl said last night, is that basically he needs to have a little bit of a better plan. So when a guy cuts off that outside rush, he has a counter move inside. And those are the type of things as a young pass rusher he needs to work on. Your other question, I believe Robert Ayers is by far the team's best pass rusher.
I
think the first 2 weeks of the year, either whether he was at end or at that three technique defensive tackle, I thought he was fantastic. I think he does a good job getting pressure. I think he's a try-hard guy, and he had six sacks in less than half a season last year. So I think Ayers right now is your best guy. You just got to get him back on the field healthy. We appreciate the call, my friend.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
go
have
Giants.
A great day.
201-939-4513. We got callers coming in. I want to make sure I get to as many people as possible today, so I'm trying to move things along. Maurice in New Jersey is up next. Maurice.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, man, I thought last night it was a good win. I sort of expected us to win the game, but you couldn't take nothing away from the Redskins. I knew that they weren't going to beat us just by our Cousins alone, so I'm very impressed with our run defense. I think our biggest thing going into our next game is making sure that we contain McCoy because, you know, he's had a track history of hurting the Giants. And, like, you know, we've been talking about the pass rush. I think this team is a pass rush and a couple players on offense stepping up. Reuben Randall, to me, is the kind of guy where you got to just – it's like your car. You got to go outside and start it up first and then go make your coffee and come back outside and then it's warmed up and you're ready to go. You can't just jump in and try to go.
Yeah, but you know what happens with that car every once in a while? The damn battery, it goes out and you're like, you got to be kidding me. You know, he's got
right.
I mean, you need to get that. You need to go get that thing supercharged and let the thing, that battery goes for, you know, consistently now because, you know, he's like this and he's, I mean, he's got to be like this. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. And I think also, you know, with the lack of a pass rush, I've seen kind of the Kavika Mitchell play where Casillas kind of was faking like he was coming. He faked the back out, but then he came. And then, you know, if we can get a pass rush and get these guys to step up, I want to get the running game going, but I've seen 2011 season where we were last, dead last, And we live on the right arm of Eli. And I think as Giants fans, we always want to see Beckham do well, but I'm so happy that Eli's being smart and he's worth every penny that this organization invested in him because he's the right man for this guy. And I want to just leave you guys with this. Going forward and looking back at the offseason, how impressed are you guys with the safety play of Landon and Brandon? And I'll listen off the air. Thank you, guys.
Well, I'll start off with that. I mean, you knew what you were getting a little bit with Collins. I mean, the Giants moved up to get him, so you kind of knew they knew what they had there. It's just this guy's just going to get better and better as he goes along because of the fact that he's so young, and now that he's in his third game in the NFL, he's going to get just more comfortable with Spag's system. And Merriweather, I think, is doing exactly what this team wanted him to do. They wanted him to come in here, show some veteran leadership, show some veteran skills, try to be in the right place at the right time, and I think he's doing a good job at that. You know, you mentioned about this pass rush. This pass rush, if they could just get some sort of a just pressure on these quarterbacks, you don't understand how much it would alleviate the pain of those corners having to cover these guys for a little extra long. I mean, if they can just solve that, it's going to solve a lot of other problems, but it's a lot easier said than done. And, until they do that, they're going to find a solution to stop these passing attacks because these guys are putting up 250 yards a game. Easily.
I'm getting a ton of tweets here, and I'm not even going to list all the people that tweeted about him, but so I'll just ask the basic question that they're asking is that, what's up with Larry Donnell? He's had a couple of drops the first few weeks. So I'm going to steal the guy's line. He did his best Metroid impression where he caught the ball and just rolled into a ball for kind of in the middle of the field. What's your impression right now on how he's played early in the year?
Well, I think that he's played horrible. I mean, I think that, in my notes here, The first one that Donnell was a third down play. It was a blitz by the Redskins. He misses his block and a crucial block, and Eli has to spike the ball, and then he misses. Then he drops that pass. It's inconsistencies, and it's in the National Football League. I love what Tom Coughlin said last week about this team. This might have been one of the quotes that maybe fired up a lot of guys and kind of sent the messages that you have a job, now go do it. And so your job is to either block, is to catch, okay? Whatever it is, you got to be able to do that job. And it just doesn't seem to me that he's consistently what they want him to be, John. I mean, look what he did in last year's game, his coming out party, 3 touchdowns against the Redskins. But I look at this Jordan Reed and I look at these other tight ends around the NFL, and these guys are all quality players. I mean, they've got speed, they got size, they got hands, they're big playmakers. We need someone like that on the Giants offense. Imagine if you got those receivers that we know, John, and you have a tight end.
Well, I mean, Larry Donnell did provide that the first half of last year.
The first half, but what happened since then has just been, I don't know. And certainly they didn't believe in Adrian Robinson. They gave him time to develop, and that didn't happen. And I think that Cunningham is in and out of the lineup. I think they like
him. Right
now
he's banged up.
So, Fells, you're going to know what you're going to get out of Fells.
He's a solid player.
Sure.
Right.
So, but he's no Jordan Reed or Jimmy Graham or any of these guys. It would be amazing to me to see if they had the weapons on offense that they do, the Giants do now with these receivers, if they had a tight end that was just, one of the tops in the league.
One other tweet, Jeff. One of our D.C. Metro folks, Trina NY, one of our loyal listeners, she's been with us for a very long time. I wore my Giants gear very proudly today on the D.C. Metro.
You know what? That's good. We have a lot of loyal listeners and watchers, if you will, down there in Virginia and in that area and Washington, and we appreciate that. And, wear them proud.
201-939-4513. Drew in Virginia's up next. Drew, long time no speak.
Well, there it is. There's one of our guys.
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Drew. What's up, pal? Let's get to it.
Good. Hey, LaTanya, sorry we beat you. I told you we would. Hey, that's my cousin. That's my cousin up in Maryland. Hey, first and foremost, man, Landon Collins looked real good last night, man. I was impressed, man. I thought he had a good game last night.
Well, he was matched up on Jordan Reed a lot. You're right. I think he continues to play well. He's making mistakes, and I mean, a lot of guys don't see it on film or on the games, but he's getting better. He's getting better.
Oh yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, no doubt. But you know, last night he had a couple of good tackles and you know good play. So you know, he just kind of stood out for me last night. You know, I'm happy that we won the game and everything. I'm like everybody else. I'm real happy we won.
I'm waiting for a butt, Drew.
You know, well, yeah, there is going to be a butt, you know, for the minute. Well, yeah, there is.
Drew's got a butt.
Well, hold up. First and foremost, let's not act like, you know, there is no butt because you guys started off the show, saying it wasn't a pretty win. Come on.
All right.
Right.
I'm not criticizing you, Drew. I'm just predicting what you're going to say, pal.
Nah. No, you know, I'm just going to point out the rather obvious. Again, the fourth quarter was scary, you know, but we, you know, if it wasn't for the – and sometimes we need a little bit of luck, but if it wasn't for that lucky deflection, you know, who knows what might have happened. But, you know, so we have that. But the other thing, man, is, I mean, the glaring issue, obviously, is the lack of pass rush. And, you know, while we beat Washington last night, and, you know, yeah, I'm happy – going forward, man, we got to get a pass rush because we're going to be in deep trouble with that. I had a question for you guys, and actually I'll just take it off the air. But my question is this. I've been watching, you know, the Giants the last couple of years, and last night and, you know, this year, it just seems like Eli, that's just an attempt to speed him up and get the ball quickly out of his hand. And I'm not exactly sure that's – well, you know, probably because of the offensive line, but I'm not exactly sure that's a good thing, I guess, because he kind of looked a little, at times, he kind of looked a bit helter-skelter. Comment on that for me, please, and you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Drew.
Well, I think it has to do with game plan, and I think that if they have a team that's going to, you know, press you outside and you know, in protection – it's just all a matter. Eli is definitely better out of the shotgun. You see him, you know, take those little three-step stop drop backs out of the shotgun. I just think it's a game plan thing, John. It's just, you know, how are you going to game plan against who you're playing? Either it's get the ball out of your hands quickly, or give, you know, that offensive line is getting better, and the more they get confidence in that offensive line, the more they can have Eli drop back on some deeper drops and maybe send the ball down the field a little bit more, because we certainly haven't seen a whole lot of that this year.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. In about 10 minutes, right before the end of the show, we'll get Jeff's picks for week number three. He's got them ready to go here.
Now, this is week number three coming up.
That's correct.
Here they are. Yeah, these are it.
You ready to go?
You want me to do it right now?
No, we're not going to do it now.
Yeah, all right. I'll just give you a quick look at them. That's it.
I want to get to the three callers first. We got three callers. We'll take you guys, then we'll get Jeff's picks. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. I know he's pretty. By the way, our man at BigBen_Z in Maryland, he's sporting his Giant stuff today, too. Shakes,
good,
you must
stuff,
be happy
guys.
Camping today, my friend.
What's going on, Jeff and John?
How are you, man?
What's going on with you, Shakes? You up and running around today? You got the jersey on, going, what's up?
Sounds like you just rolled out of bed again.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle of what?
The Giants. let me go on some things real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did we just win the fifth Super Bowl or something?
No, that was 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I know. Okay, all right.
That was
Listen.
The fourth Super Bowl, by the way.
I mean, I'm just saying, man. People talk, oh, we turned the corner and all this.
Oh, like, whoa. Listen, you did not hear that from him,
Shakes,
and I.
All you can do is win the game that's on your schedule.
And we talk about it, and listen, they needed it. There's a lot of things to fix that we're talking about it right now. We're not proclaiming that this team is going undefeated from here on out. We're just trying to – listen, we're just trying to – it's been a tough 2 weeks for Giants
and
fans,
Shakes,
and everybody.
It's always easier to talk about the stuff you did poorly after you win the game than after you lose the game.
Yes.
No doubt. All right, let me make my point. First, we need to finish the game. We got to finish the game. Fourth quarter, we're giving up too much points. It's like we don't have that killer instinct.
Coach Coughlin agrees with you 100%. Trust me.
Another thing is, I am happy about a lot of points here. It seems like somebody in the office is listening to y'all show or mine, because going on a few things, Beeson and Unger's rotation was perfect. That's how you use them. You keep on using Beeson like that, my prediction of him playing 12 games may come true.
Mm-hmm. It's fair. You have
also,
that written down.
Also, Williams.
Put it down.
And at goal line back. How long have I been saying this, John? For 2 years? 2 seasons now?
Well, he's only been here for 2 years.
In a goal line situation.
And
what happened? Touchdown.
And Shakes, more than that, I'm not sure if you listen to the radio broadcast, but Howard Cross not only wants Williams in there, he wants Williams in there with the fullback leading the way.
That's exactly what I've been saying, man. You got a man up, man. Another thing, cut Parker and Coon out the lineup, addition by subtraction. Now, we still dropping a lot of balls to now, but we're getting there. And Coon being out, we see the beef in the middle of the lineup, and we're not giving up a 100-yard rusher yet. So, loving it. Also, what else? Newhouse. Let me eat my crow on Newhouse.
He's playing well.
He's filling the void, but I will also say this. Once Beatty is back, I want Beatty back in. Beatty at left tackle, Flowers at right.
And I think that's what you'll see.
Okay. I love what Jeff Fiegel said. We need a real tight end. I've been saying this for 3 seasons, John. You know this. We need real tight end.
Shakes has been saying that for four years. Not just one of those powder puff tight ends
like Jimmy Graham. I love him. You know, that's fine. That's a threat. But I want a complete tight end. Half offensive lineman, half wide receiver. We need him. Pass rush. Nobody is explosive off the line of scrimmage. We need some explosive guys to get off the line of scrimmage. Ayers is quick, but he's not explosive. I want some explosive guys there.
If that happens, we'll have a pass rush.
Shakes,
you want a lot. I mean, what is this, Christmas? We're only about two months away from Christmas.
You know, this is what I have to say it on this show because
we let you.
for that, and I think somebody is listening. I think somebody is listening. Shakes, trust me. We're listening to you, man. Did y'all know how much I screamed? I mean, I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm calling people. I'm like, somebody got to answer the phone. Did y'all see what I'm saying here?
Thank you, Shakes.
It's a beautiful thing.
All right, Shakes. Listen, we got to go on to some other guys, but we appreciate you.
We got to run. I want to get a couple more guys in before we run here, Shakes. But trust me, if people are listening, well, let me put it this way. People might hear what we're saying. Doesn't mean they're necessarily listening.
Shakes is a good call. He's a good call.
I love Shakes.
Yeah, he's got some good points. He asks a lot.
Absolutely.
Man, he's greedy.
All right, here we go. We got two more guys we got to get in. Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you're up next.
What's up, Joe?
Hi, Jeff. Hi there, John. Great to talk to you. It was a great win getting over the hump there. I thought it was more mental than physical. Definitely the only glaring need, I really think, is the pass rush. I want to ask you about 00. Where is he at?
He's still trying to get back from that foot, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know this break will give a little bit of a rest for him. So hopefully he'll get back next week.
He's somebody we don't know about that could really be add to it with errors really and truly. And Danelle really has to learn to play under control. That's for sure. He got to slow down and play under control. That one pass he dropped, it almost seemed like he had his hands crisscrossed or something, just trying to react too fast or so. But he's at least out there in the position and that. So the kicking game's going great, you know. And them penalties last night at the end of the game, they didn't want to review a couple of them touchdowns, it seemed, that could have maybe been called back there. They want to maybe find Coughlin. You know anything about that?
No, I was just – it was – I don't know. You know, it's that play is not reviewable because it's already reviewable.
Wait, which play are you talking about?
The touchdown.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it was pretty clear on the replay that the shin was down. I'm not sure if the people upstairs are just trying to go home because it was 1 o'clock, 11:30 at night or what. But I honestly, I understand Tom Coughlin's frustration. But he also knows that throwing the red flag there is going to cost you a timeout.
But I mean, it's whatever. Last week we lost the game here. I'm tired of these apologies too. I mean, come on, they got to get with it. You know, this is something that's their part of the game. The refs, you know,
absolutely,
they're not even reviewing it. So it's ridiculous. And the only other thing I want to say tonight, I did see on the NFL Network, they're going to have the top 10 Giants, I guess, of all time.
Very
so,
good.
Where's Jeff Eagles on that list?
Not the top 10. That's sorry.
Yeah.
Top 10
punters? Whatever. Jeff was always steady. He definitely, punter-wise, he has to be up there.
Thank you.
Definitely the top two or three for
sure. Well, thank
sure,
you,
so.
Joe. I appreciate so, that. I really do.
Yeah, it'll be nice to watch these other games here. The Eagles, hopefully, they can go down in it. So, whatever. But the Giants, they're young players, you know what I mean, getting healthy, these guys, and coming back. There's a lot there, you know what I mean, with the experience in that we have a lot to grow in. Maybe we might surprise you and can sneak in there. So, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, John in Texas. John, you're our final caller today. What's going on, John? Oh, looks like we lost John there. It's okay. Do we still have him on the line, or is he gone? He's gone? All right, John, if you want to get in and call back while Feagles reads his DraftKings read, I'll squeeze in after the DraftKings things, okay? Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination of DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Jeff? What do you got?
All right, here we go.
Week three in the National Football League.
This is my DraftKings Week 3 lineup right here. All right, hey, fans, here's my Week 3 DraftKings lineup. Now, if you never played on DraftKings.com, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. So here's Week 3 lineup for you. Going at the QB position, Tom Brady. Mark it down.
It's hard to go wrong with Tom Brady.
It's very it is. My QB, so Brady. The reason behind this is because he is simply the best in the business. Brady so far this year is leading the NFL in both yards thrown and also touchdowns. That bodes well in fantasy, right, John?
Oh, no question.
He's off to a hot start, and I think this week the streak keeps going as he's playing the Jaguars at home. I'm spending my money on Brady. $7,700. Not a lot.
That's pocket change for Jeff Eagles.
$7,700. Just here, let me pull it out. then running back. My running back and also my sleeper pick this week is Joseph Randle. Reason I like Randle is because Dallas has nobody else.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff, but now isn't that won't teams gang up against the run now? Isn't it going to be harder for Dallas to run?
Yeah, but you know what? I think that offensive line, yeah, they can gang up on it, but I still think that offensive line is so good that they can overcome
that.
Wow,
and you decided to pick a defensive team for your third pick here, Jeff?
Yes. I'm going with the Jets. Because
wow.
And there's two reasons why I'm going with the Jets. Number one, because I wrote it down. And number two is that that we need the Jets to beat the the Eagles.
There you go.
All right. So,
and
yeah.
They're good. They got a great
listen,
defense.
Here's a couple stats on the New York Jets, okay? They're stopping everybody. The defense leads the league in interceptions, turnover, and also points allowed. With the Jets are also playing a struggling Philadelphia Eagles team. I see this defense remaining hot and worth the money. $3,000 for the Jets. Joseph Randle will cost you $5,100. And that's my DraftKings lineup for the week. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today.
There you go. Those are Jeff's picks. Giants win. Weekend off for us. Weekend off for you for Giants football.
What are you doing this weekend?
Sit back. My wife's birthday is tomorrow.
Hey, there
you
go.
So I have said to the wife, tomorrow we can do whatever you want.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Giving you the entire day. You got it. It's all yours.
And what
then,
a husband.
And then Sunday we're having a little bit of a football day for me. I can actually enjoy football like I'm a fan again.
You know what? It is funny. For the guys that work in the business, we don't get to enjoy Sundays
football
as much
Sunday,
as you think.
A football Sunday where I'm not working is like
great.
The best thing
yeah,
ever.
It really is. It's
oh,
a lot
it's
of fun.
Fantastic.
And not that we don't enjoy our weekends, our football Sundays, but the more importantly, when you get a little bit of time off to watch some of the other games, it is a lot of
I'll
fun.
I'll tell you what. Real quick, though, Jeff, I was looking at the schedule, and we talked about some of the 1 o'clock games, which we'll all watch because it affects the Giants. The 4 o'clock games tomorrow
good
are
ones.
Actually very, very weak.
Really?
I like the 4 o'clock games. There's only 3 4 o'clock games tomorrow.
Well, I think that Bills-Dolphins game is
Bills-Dolphins
one.
Will be okay. I think the Seahawks are going to beat the Bears by about a bajillion points.
You know what? I will agree with you. There's one game.
And I think the Cardinals are going to blow out the 49ers.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are very good.
They're real good. But if you want to look at, the Giants play the 49ers here in a couple weeks, So you get a good look at them.
You know, Bills, Dolphins, both coming off very bad losses, so both those teams should be pretty fired up.
Be a good game, and we get the Giants are playing the Bills, so we get a little bit of look.
They're also playing the Dolphins.
What's your other game outside the division that you like on that?
Besides the two we talked about, early games. Bengals, Ravens. I think they always play very, very tough NFC North, AFC North battles. That should be an excellent, excellent game. And you know what? The Vikings are my sleeper team this year. They played okay the first couple of games. Yeah. I want to see how they play against a pretty good Chargers team.
That Raven Bengals game, you sometimes wonder why they put that at a 1 o'clock and not at 4
o'clock. How is that not the 425 national guy?
I think this one is not going to be that good either. But the
Broncos-Lions? So, yeah. No, I think the Lions might have a very long year this year, Jeff.
Chief-Packer game Monday night.
That should be good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
No question.
So, but, enjoy the weekend, John. Enjoy your wife's birthday and good being with you guys
today.
And
then you and Lance on Monday, we will review
we'll be back.
Your DraftKings picks for week number 3.
And I guess we're just going to talk about the Bills on Monday because we already talked about the game last night, which is our usually recap.
You'll get plenty of people wanting to talk about that on Monday as well. And then we'll have a guest on Tuesday. We'll get somebody out from Buffalo to give us a little preview. Lance and I on Giants. And Bills up in Buffalo next week. Giants hit the road. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. That's your Big Blue Kickoff Live Friday episode right here on Giants.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Intercepted.